This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, the irony was certainly not lost on many when, just about the time the city of Detroit filed for bankruptcy protection, Governor Snyder gave the green light to a new arena for the Detroit Red Wings, an arena to be located just immediately north of downtown. Plans are calling for an 18,000-seat state-of-the-art arena and accompanying entertainment district. It will be funded with a mix of $365.5 million in private investment and an estimated public investment of somewhere in the neighborhood of $284 million. Now, the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation is predicting the new Wings Arena and the mixed-use district could create about 8,300 jobs. And it predicts a statewide economic impact in the neighborhood of $1.8 billion. Well, my next guest would like to challenge the statement that a new sports arena can energize a financially depleted city and boost its morale. Marvin Serkin is a specialist in comparative urban politics and co-author of the book Detroit, I Do Mind Dying, and he joins us now from New York City. Welcome, Marvin.
Welcome. Thanks a lot.
Whenever we hear of a new sports stadium or an arena being announced, I don't care what the city, we do hear that similar message. Hey, more jobs, great economic impact for the area. And to that you say?
I say, I love to hear magic being broadcast and tell that if it's going to happen this time, it may not have been that way the last time before, but this is the time we've got the magic bullet that's going to make it work. And I'm going to laugh a little bit with it, but I say, gee, I wish it were true, and maybe it will be true this time, but I haven't seen it really happen in the past. I haven't seen it happen in Detroit.
Because the Wings, this new Wings home would, of course, join Comerica Park, the Tigers' home, and Ford Field, the Lions' home. And by the way, we don't want to forget, the new publicly funded Red Wings home replaces the old publicly funded Red Wings home, which we all know is Joe Louis Arena. So you're saying you haven't seen that pay off with any of this?
Well, I really haven't seen it. And, you know, it's the corporate elite in this country seems to have the idea that they can keep selling the old remedies, and that the old remedies, the new time around, either people are going to forget that they were promised this the time before, that this was the remedy that was going to be produce the magic bullet to make it all work, or either people have forgotten, or that they just never even heard it in the first place. So they keep drumming this up again, and somehow sports and gambling casinos and big hotel centers like Renaissance Center, downtown Detroit, and Detroit has had a history of being promised these great adventures that are going to really, make the city work the way it's supposed to work, and it hasn't seemed like it's worked in the past. So I'm wondering how this tremendous insurge of public funds, in addition to private funds, is going to do more than just create a boondoggle for the private interests.
And when they talk about the economic impact of $1.8 billion for the state and the 8,300 jobs, let's talk about the jobs, first of all. In your opinion, of the kinds of jobs created by a sports arena in construction and then afterward?
Yeah, well, one of the things you have to think about when you do this, when you see these kinds of contracts that go out, and that is to say, what percentage of the workforce that's going to be employed in the construction is going to be your local workforce? And the contracts usually require that a certain percentage of the workforce will be local. And the second part of that would be, what percentage of the workforce is going to be not only local, but union and local, or union altogether? And we've got to deal with those issues in order to really see what the impact on the city is going to be, because the numbers may look terrific, but if the numbers really take your funds that are generated outside of the city, then how is it really going to help the city? That's the bottom line question.
And then the type of jobs once this arena is built and the Red Wings are playing through the season?
Yeah, well then, jobs parking cars and jobs selling, hamburgers and hot dogs and beer at the stadium are not generally going to be highly skilled, highly paid jobs. We're not looking at a tremendous influx of jobs. What you then look at is what's projected is all of the services that are going to be around an arena, like the creation of restaurants and hotels, mm-hmm. and other cafes and other activities that will create jobs that will be around the arena. Now, there's no question that there's going to be some of that that's going to get generated. The question is, if you're dealing with the city of Detroit, we've got this tremendous unemployment problem mm-hmm. where wages are going down, wages are being depressed in the jobs that are being created, for example, at Chrysler at the Jefferson plant, where they're now the new contracts do a two-tiered employment scale in which the new employment is $12 an hour less than the old scale was, then you're looking at not raising the salary and raising the income level, but in fact either continue to keep it stagnant or lowering it. So the question would be, are they going to generate more higher incomes, which are then going to generate, and without seeing really production go on in a large scale, you're seeing services go on, and you're seeing a relatively small number of people being employed and relatively small incomes being generated.
Can you give us a, for instance, of a, in another city where the promise was made and it wasn't met?
Well, I happen to be talking to you from New York City, and you've heard of the New York Yankees, of course.
Of course.
Well, the New York Yankees had this great ball stadium, one of the classics, 1927 Yankee Stadium. And about 15, 20 years ago, they came up with a plan, public and private plan, to refurbish the great old Yankee Stadium. Because this was not only going to maintain Yankee Stadium, but it was going to help to regenerate the Bronx. And they put it something in the neighborhood of $100 million, which, you know, 15, 20 years ago was a substantial amount of money.
Yeah.
And, well, 20 years later, they decided, no, this isn't quite good enough. Let's tear down the old Yankee Stadium. Let's put $1 billion into building a new Yankee Stadium, and this is going to resuscitate the Bronx. Well, the stadiums have been built and have been destroyed. And it still, of course, hasn't really resuscitated the Bronx. And this is happening again right now in Queens, where you have the new Citi Field, which replaced the old Shea Stadium at the cost of practically $1 billion. And the new plan is to take the existing small-scale businesses in the neighborhood around Citi Field, where the New York Mets play baseball, and tear it completely down and build a whole new city of cafes and restaurants and walking streets and hotels around the area of the stadium, and at the same time, of course, to remove or replace the small-scale businesses, which will lose out because they'll be moved out. Hmm. So, you know, there are examples here that you could go on from city after city where stadiums are built, and the plan is to create something vast and modern and marvelous, but the magic bullet still simply has not exactly had that kind of production, because a lot of these stadiums, one of the things that they do is that they serve corporate needs on a number of angles, because one, they're able to use public funds in the investment, and at the same time provide private needs. Because one, the rationale for building these stadiums is to build these special, classy skyboxes and special facilities.
The big money makers
are owned or condominiumized or rented by large corporations at fairly large cost. And so this generates money for the operation and provides interest for the corporation, but doesn't provide a tremendous amount of jobs or employment or income.
Well, let me ask you, if an owner says, well, fine, I don't get the help with the new arena that I need those skyboxes, I need to pay those salaries and stay competitive, and if I don't get it, I'll move the team somewhere where I will get that public funding.
Exactly, in the same way I'll move the company, and if I can't produce cars here and make more money, I'll take it and produce cars somewhere else and make more money. And so goes the story, and part of the story of Detroit, which includes this new Red Wings concept of the stadium, is, are we going to see the city further abandoned, or are we going to see the city supported, including supporting its population, including supporting its workforce, including supporting its neighborhoods? And thus far, what we have seen is a continuation of abandonment and magic solutions like new stadium, which in fact have not served the problem of really providing the needs that the city has.
And what I think I hear you saying is, so if the Red Wings move from Joe Louis Arena just the way that the Tigers move from Tiger Stadium and right. the Lions move from the Silver Dome and everybody's together in Foxtown, it's not necessarily creation of jobs because those Joe Louis jobs are just going to move up Woodward Avenue a mile or two.
They're just going to move. Exactly right. And, you know, part of the rationale for the new Red Wing Stadium is that it's going to be downtown Detroit. And if you know how the city is structured, the Joe Louis Arena is downtown Detroit.
Down the river.
It's a little too far away because it's far away from Comerica Stadium, mm-hmm. and it's not where they want to emphasize the new development. And we could talk a lot more, but you know what people like Dan Gilbert are doing in terms of bringing corporations into Detroit, in terms of bringing actually that level of interest into the city, and the idea of sports and the idea of conventions is very attractive to them.
Let me ask you this. We saw Tiger Stadium torn down, and then, of course, once the Lions moved out of the Pontiac Silverdome, it sat empty and just sucked down scarce resources from that cash-strapped city through the years. What do you foresee happening to Joe Louis Arena once the Wings move up Woodward Avenue to Foxtown?
Yeah, become run down, become second rate, or become torn down.
And it was the new silver bullet in 1980, wasn't
exactly.
it?
And it's still used, and it's still very successful. I mean, the Joe Louis Arena has been a very successful, and the Red Wings have been a very successful sports franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, you don't have to necessarily leave Detroit, and you don't necessarily have to have those fancy skyboxes in order to create not only a profitable enterprise, but a socially useful enterprise. And that, I think, is what we really need to look at. And we look at things like we need to look at not just what one specific item can do to generate solutions, but look at the overall perspective and see how a package of a plan, a real urban strategy, can really look at redevelopment and urban redevelopment for a city like Detroit. And I don't see that's going on with the stadium. It's not. It's like a one-shot deal. This is the magic bullet, and it's not an overall strategy.
Marvin, do you feel like a voice crying in the wilderness? Because I'm sure, you know, seeing Governor Snyder support this, and Mike Ilitch has certainly been a powerful mover for a lot of good. The Foxtown area has been renovated and has had new life breathed into it because he moved the Little Caesars headquarters right there in the Foxtown area. Pieces are coming together. This is happening not just in Detroit, but all over the nation. Do you feel like a voice crying in the wilderness?
Well, sometimes I say that's true. I do feel like a little voice crying in the wilderness. On the other hand, I think it's important to see, to really look at the analysis, because if you analyze it and you tell the show the public that there is a way of understanding what's going on, it isn't just a shot in the wilderness. The people who are doing this plan, they understand the long-term benefits that are going to be gained by it. And the long-term benefits that they see gained by it are not necessarily the long-term benefits for the city and its population.
Marvin Serkin, a specialist in comparative urban politics and social change, and also co-author of the book Detroit, I Do Mind Dying, and he was kind enough to join us today from New York City. Marvin, thank you so very much for talking with us.
Cindy, it was great.